This is Inside Work. My name is Robert. Has life ever put you to the test? Yeah, of course it has. We've all experienced hardship. And there's no doubt that this pandemic has been a source of fear and anxiety, of loneliness, and just plain old sadness. So we all have to be vigilant about caring for our mental health. But sometimes we don't even realize that we're actually battling a diagnosable mental illness. And there are all kinds of statistics out there on this topic, but I'll share one. According to the National Institutes of Mental Health in the US, about half of people who are suffering from mental illness don't seek out treatment. So today, we're going to talk to a colleague about mental health and her experiences with mental illness. Let me bring you into the conversation with my two co-hosts, Nick and Amy, right now. I'm really excited to talk to you guys. It's been a long time. Like most of our conversations that we have, the two of you don't really know much about what's going to transpire today or what we're going to talk about. And I always think that's fun. And I think it's cool that you guys are up to just jump in and see what happens. We're going to be doing a guided meditation today. There's kind of a cool backstory that goes along with that. And it's one of our colleagues that's going to be leading us through that guided meditation. But before we get to that, I wanted to check in with both of you just to see what kind of energy you're bringing to this meeting today. You know, right now it's 11:19 a.m. Pacific time. So it's 2:19 p.m. for Nick out on the East Coast. You've all already had some meetings today. So Nick, what kind of energy are you bringing into the meeting today?
I'd be lying if I didn't say I was a scatterbrained mess.
Okay.
I realize okay. That's it. That's not an official industry term, but this is one of those times of the year for me anyway, in what I do, that like it's silly season. You know, there's like an escalation every 30 seconds on something that's an urgent crisis or priority.
Yeah, I probably feel what Nick's feeling, but probably not in quite as acute a scale as what he's dealing with. But it's definitely a busy time. I was sharing with you, Robert, we've got SCO next week. And so I'm working closely with CJ. We're co-presenting all of our product updates that are coming next year. And then he's also invited me to share that with the board. So I get to be like a guest of that meeting for probably 5 to 10 minutes. And I think Nick has to probably weather through the whole thing and help lead that. And so again, I'm on a smaller scale of stress, but definitely feeling a similar level of fragmentation.
Yeah. All right. Well, maybe this is the best possible time for us to do a guided meditation together. And one of our colleagues who is over in Hong Kong, her name is Vanessa. She actually is certified in leading guided meditation sessions, as well as yoga. She's just a really fascinating person. And she's going to share some of her story with us a little bit later, and you'll learn what led her to her interest in meditation. But I was talking to her the other day, and we had discussed the idea of maybe trying this out, and we just went for it. And so we're all going to do this together. Nick, Amy, and me, and all of you that are listening, we're going to do this guided meditation together. And it's going to be about, you know, 6 minutes, something like that total. And then we'll come back together and talk about how we felt.
I love it.
So ready, set.
Hello, this is Vanessa, and welcome to today's meditation. Thousands of thoughts pour into our heads each day. Some memories from the past, some worries from the future. It's easy to feel overwhelmed, and then our heads get into this spin that we can't stop. Today, we're going to practice how to slow down our mind by accessing the space between our breaths and the space between our thoughts. Every time we are in this space, we settle down and relax just a little bit more. In doing so, we carry a little piece of bliss with us, so we can be a little bit more patient and kind to ourselves and those around us. Now let's get comfortable, close our eyes, and take a long deep breath in and gently let that go. Nothing to do, nowhere to go. Keep breathing. Drop your shoulders, relax your jaw, and just let your body melt. Just for this moment, completely relaxed. Yes, you may see all those thoughts in your head. Just follow our breath in, right now inhale, and follow the breath out. We are now connected with the present moment. Just keep breathing in and breathing out. If there are thoughts, let there be thoughts. We simply observe and then slowly, gently bring your attention back to your breath. Breathe. Just by taking a breath here and there and observing it, we are back to the present moment. On your next exhale, release all the weight you carry on your shoulder as you breathe out. Follow the breath in and follow the breath out. Breathe. Keep breathing. Feel yourself getting lighter. If your mind drifts to the future or the past, we watch our thoughts like clouds in the sky. Simply let them float by. And then gently bring the attention back to your breath. Breathe. Continue to follow the breath in and follow the breath out. If your mind drifts away, just gently bring your attention back to your breath. Breathe. Now on your own for 1 minute, I will watch the time for you. Keep your eyes closed. Allow the peace and stillness to settle. Now slowly move your fingers and toes, and when you're ready, open your eyes. How do you feel? Do you feel just a little bit lighter? Now you have a key you can use throughout the day to access this peace that sits within all of us. Thank you for meditating with me. Have a wonderful day.
How do you feel?
I definitely felt refreshed and calm and much more relaxed.
Yeah, it's amazing. Every time I do one of those exercises, I feel spectacular. And yet I don't have the discipline to force myself to do it more regularly. But I mean, it's a palpable difference from the 5 minutes before.
Yes. If we were all hooked up to blood pressure monitors or pulse monitors or something like that, I'm sure that there is a biological, you know, a physiological difference that we could observe. And what's incredible to me about that is it's the meditation itself is about 5 minutes. It's such a small, small part of, you know, a day to take 5 minutes to do that. And yet it really has an impact, which begs the question, I think, and you were getting at it, Nick, too, is like, why don't we do more of this for ourselves?
Mm-hmm. It definitely helped me clear my head of thoughts, which is really hard to do. And I think her guidance through that, thinking of my thoughts as clouds and just letting them drift by but not consume me, was really helpful. And I'm with you, Nick. Like, I don't take the time to do it. It's one of those things I know I should do, but I don't carve out the time. And I think instead, the way that I do accomplish that sense of focus is through activities. Like, I'm not good at sitting still. And so there's a couple things, like I snowboard and I horseback ride. And both of those activities, I have to be completely in the moment. And it does clear my head of all other thoughts. But I can't do that every day. And it's not necessarily the same form of relaxing where you truly still your body and your mind at the same time, which I think is, it took me further in terms of where I got to being relaxed in a short amount of time.
I'll tell you, I had a bit of a moment over the holidays. I was in a situation where historically I normally would have really enjoyed myself. And I literally could not get control of my own head. It felt like I was swiping. Like, it felt like my brain was like in a permanent swiping exercise on some social media platform. And it scared me because, you know, to your point, if we don't figure out ways to get control, nobody's immune from the crushing pressure of being always on. And, you know, just sitting through this exercise and listening to her voice, how much more of a reminder do you need? It actually does work.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I want to talk about a little more context for Vanessa and how she arrived at a place where she said, not only do I want to start to practice mindfulness meditation on a regular basis, but I want to help other people to do it as well. And before I play some more of the interview that I did with her, just a little bit about her. I mean, Vanessa is an incredibly accomplished person. She was a former management consultant, and she's a very critical part of ServiceNow's strategy in the Asia Pacific region. She's just a really, really accomplished person. But when I was talking to her, she was telling the story of, you know, how she came to a mental health crisis in her life. And she realized that she really was, you know, over-rotated in terms of being incredibly driven, incredibly results-oriented when it came to her work and her career. And that she had, you know, gotten out of balance, and it took a life crisis to really break that open for her and to show her that maybe it was time to rebalance and to do things a little bit differently. So let me share that conversation with you.
So I grew up in Hong Kong, and then later on, you know, I went overseas for school, and then later I worked in consulting and tech for many years. And I saw many unhealthy behavior. I'm not just talking about alcohol. I'm talking about not able to control your moods. Lots of us have monkey mind syndrome, myself included back then, and we were living on a hamster wheel. Then I hit the rock bottom in terms of both physical and mental health because I was going through a divorce about 10 years ago. And I was diagnosed with clinical depression, and I took meds and also went to therapists for the first time in my life. And luckily, because I had so much support, you know, my friends and family as well, also my wonderful colleagues at the time at SAP, and I recovered quite quickly. And after that, I decided to live differently. And I started to explore yoga and meditation, also general health and exercise more seriously. And I have had a really good career, but of course I have some regrets as well, just like everyone else. I wish I didn't bring so much secondhand stress to my teammates. And it kind of bounces back to you, right? Like I always say the world is a mirror. When you give other people stress, they are stressed. And then you get even more stressed out because you're working together for so many hours each day. So I decided to come clean, quote unquote, and change my lifestyle and also working style. And now I like to explore and see how I integrate, you know, all this knowledge and practice into work. And also, more importantly, spread the knowledge and spread this passion of, you know, pursuing a more balanced and, you know, much more well-being at work with others so that we can all create a better work environment and life together. We always have to start with ourselves. If we want to make changes, we start with ourselves. If we want love and support from others, we start with ourselves. We have to love and support ourselves first.
I think she's heroic. I think a couple of things I've learned is that number one, people won't feel comfortable talking about what's going on unless they hear other people do it. And she brought, I thought, just such poise to, you know, telling her own story and taking control of her own narrative. And I thought that was really powerful. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there was so much that resonated with me in what she said. And one thing that came to mind, and this was advice I got once, is, you know, be aware of the shadow that you cast. And she talked about that in terms of the mirror, and that if you're resonating stress or you're exuding stress and kind of vibrating with it all the time, it will just kind of magnify with the people around you, and you'll keep kind of building that stress level up together. And the advice I got was, you know, in every way that you show up, you cast a shadow. And especially as you grow as a leader, others will think that that's how I need to show up to be a leader. And if you're walking through, the advice I got was specific to kind of, you know, working in person. But if you're rushing from meeting to meeting and you're too busy to stop and say hello and you're looking frenetic, others will assume, well, that's how I need to show up as well, too, if that's what it looks like. And so it really, it stuck with me, you know, to slow down and not exude stress. I wish that everyone could learn the lesson that she has in terms of how do you take care of yourself first, like put on your oxygen mask first before you expect that you can take care of others. And to set that example, I think is so important.
The other thing that struck me is, you know, just like we were talking about with respect to the guided meditation, Her comment around, she just made the decision to reorder the priorities in her life. I think for a lot of people, myself included, that feels like an impossible decision. And you hear people who actually have done it, and you realize it, almost every one of those examples, including hers, they sound reinvigorated. And you know, I just think it's a great, you know, sort of punch to the gut for the rest of us. Like, what are we waiting for?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. I think there are many things that we convince ourselves that we can't do. You know, we can't reorder this part of our lives, or we can't give up some whatever that thing that we hold dear is. Maybe it's our income level. Maybe it's, I mean, it could be any number of things. We're like, oh, I can't mm-hmm. change that part of my life because the whole thing falls apart. When we have the power to reconfigure a lot mm-hmm. in our lives.
Yeah, and I think the thing that was impactful for me too is, unfortunately, I think it takes hitting some kind of rock bottom or low. You know, she spoke about divorce and depression, and I had that wake-up call too. And Robert, I'd shared this with you, but I went through a divorce you know, now probably 8 or 10 years ago. But at the time, I thought everything was going great. And then my life kind of blew up. And I luckily had a lot of support at work, but I really had to rethink my priorities. And I realized I was putting everything first and I was coming in last. And that level of self-sacrifice created resentment, and, you know, it impacted my relationship as well too. And so unfortunately that was my wake up moment where I said, I've got to change how I'm prioritizing and taking care of myself and my relationship and the people around me, and work doesn't necessarily come first.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I want to play another clip from Vanessa for you. We were talking about the fact that we've increasingly flexed the muscle in the workplace of talking about mental health from an optimization standpoint. And we're also, you know, able to talk about mental illness, but it's something that I don't think we have as much practice doing. You talked a little bit about your journey and specifically, you know, going through a difficult life event, going through a divorce, and then going and seeking out help and realizing that you were diagnosed with clinical depression. I feel like at this moment in the workplace, we've gotten better at talking about mental health in terms of optimization, in terms of how to, you know, live your best life and have the best strategies for making sure that you're not burning out, making sure that you're, you know, taking care of your overall health, which is very positive. I'm glad that we're having that conversation. It feels to me like talking about mental illness is still something that's harder for us to talk about in the workplace, or it's more stigmatized to say, I have suffered from anxiety or depression or, you know, whatever type of mental illness that one might face. What do you observe that too?
Yeah, no, for sure. And I think that's why we're doing this, right? Is to remove the stigma, to make it okay to talk about it. I mean, at the time, nobody labeled me and I didn't label myself, but I lost a lot of weight. It was so obvious. And I remember going to work. Of course, you know, now, you know, when I was going through the divorce, I realized I had to support myself. I lost financial support. So I was also very nervous about not performing at work. And I would go to work and stare at the computer and start crying. And then I would go to the bathroom and I would like go back and forth between my computer and the bathroom like 10 times a day. So it was very obvious what I was going through, but you know, like it was actually my colleagues at SAP who pulled me aside and say, hey, you have lost a lot of weight. Are you okay? You know, there's this doctor I've seen before. You might want to make an appointment with him. And I feel very lucky that I have that. And I hope that everyone gets that. And I hope that one day it'll be as easy as talking about, like, I got a flu, I have a headache, you know. Really, it's just like that, because if you look at the statistics, 1/4 of us experience something at some point in our lives. That's a lot, right? So that means all your colleagues, either they themselves are experiencing it or have experienced it, or they're dealing with someone in their family who are experiencing, which, again, right, that's secondhand depression in this case. Which is also very difficult. Actually, it can be more difficult to be the one supporting, you know, the families that have it.
The candor and the clarity with which she spoke about her entire, you know, life experience is pretty rare. I think she's 100% correct that the clearest path to destigmatizing mental health, including mental illness, is to talk about it. You know, I remember in my early 20s, when I was working on a campaign, being in my car back in the days, I had a Nextel direct connect phone, and everything, it was so close to the election. My stress levels, my blood pressure was probably off the charts, and I had to pull over on the side of the highway because all the windows in the car were fogged up and I was having trouble getting control of my own breathing. Only not later in life do I realize that was a panic attack, and people have them, and having them and talking about having them doesn't mean you can't be effective at work. Quite the contrary.
Yeah. I think it's mental health. It's something that we do need to destigmatize. Absolutely. And yet I think it is so challenging in the workplace, just like she mentioned. You know, frequently part of what's wrapped up in that stress and that anxiety is the worry about, you know, economic stability, which is tied to work. And so in the act of sharing that you may be going through a difficult time, or it's even prevalent throughout your life, it never changes. It's really revealing something that you might also worry puts you in a worse situation, because now your ability to be successful at work could be in question, or you've almost revealed that vulnerability that's inextricably tied to work. It's a really difficult thing, I think, for people to do. And I certainly try to share as much as possible with my team and the people I work with about my own experiences in that realm to make them feel comfortable with it. But I still can tell that people are reserved about how much they will share.
Yeah. Yeah. It really does require discernment to know when to share, where to share, how to share in the workplace setting. It really makes my heart glad that we're having this conversation today. I'm incredibly grateful to Vanessa for being so open and so vulnerable. And like I said, I think it's really amazing when somebody who's so accomplished and so successful in their career comes out and says, "Hey, I've had some really tough times, and it's just a thing that human beings go through." Well, folks, that was the end of our conversation for today. When I reflect back on what Vanessa shared, I am struck by the incredible strength of her vulnerability. I hope that Vanessa has inspired you to speak up if you're struggling and seek help if you need it, from family and friends, but also from trained professionals. And as Vanessa said, love and support yourself first. This helps us to flourish as individual human beings, but it also helps us contribute to vibrant organizations. Inside Work is brought to you by ServiceNow and is hosted by Nick, Amy, and me, Robert. Our audio engineer is Cameron. Very special thanks to Vanessa for boldly sharing her story with us. We'll be back again soon to keep talking about being human at work.